You know, there was a little lady who lived during the time of Ellen White. This little lady wrote hymns. She wrote some 9,000 of them. And we have 18 of them in our hymnal. And so if you have your hymnal there, I want you to look at one of them with me. This hymn is one of the rare ones that we have twice. It's written out twice, given to us twice. In our hymnal there, side by side, number 337, number 338, entitled Redeemed. Redeemed. And you can see that it was written by Fanny Crosby. And so you might wonder, why do we have this hymn twice? Well, most of you know that they have different melodies to them. But there's more to the story than that. When Miss Fanny wrote this hymn, she gave it 5 stanzas. And you'll notice that there's only 3 on each page. Hymn number 337 actually has stanzas 1, 2, and 5 from the original. And hymn 338 has the missing 2, stanzas 3 and 4. So if you wanted to sing all of the stanzas, you would sing both songs, or use the verses of the other for the melody. But you'll notice also, as you look at the page there, that we're given the text of Scripture that inspired Miss Crosby to write this hymn, Lamentations 3:58. So who wrote Lamentations? That was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And that verse says this, O Lord, You have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. So aren't we glad that we have a high priest in heaven that's pleading our case so that we have redemption? I want you to notice a little bit about this hymn with me, that perhaps it has something associated with the title that you don't see with any of the other hymns primarily. What do you notice about the title? Got an exclamation point, doesn't it? An exclamation mark. It's not just redeemed, it's redeemed with excitement and enthusiasm, vigor and vim. So let me ask you a question this morning. How long does it take a newborn Christian believer to lose his or her awe concerning God's redemption of us? How long does it take us to lose enthusiasm that we are redeemed? Well, apparently, Miss Fanny never lost her appreciation of redemption as she writes this hymn and puts an exclamation point there. She was enthusiastic about her redemption. And notice in verse 1 of both songs, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And again, what do we have there? Exclamation mark. verse 2, redeemed and so happy in Jesus. And then what do we have? Another exclamation mark, don't we? Verse 2, I sing for I cannot keep silent. His love is the theme of my song. And then the chorus, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Apparently, Fanny Crosby really, again, appreciated her salvation, didn't she? As she wrote this hymn back in 1882. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You know what? As we look at what the language of this hymn, you know what? There's a lot of theology in this song. So let's talk about that a little bit. Number one, who redeemed us? What redeemed us? Who redeemed us? We're redeemed by what?
The blood of the Lamb.
Who's the Lamb? That's Jesus, isn't it? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, I've been going through the Gospel of Mark on the radio there in Woodbury, and we're down to the last chapter or two, and talking about Jesus as he was nailed to the cross. He really did bleed. Although he didn't die from the loss of blood, but he really did bleed a lot from his back and from his head and from his hands and his feet. But he had to die. There in Gethsemane, what was his prayer three times? Lord, if there's some other way, let it be found, but not my will, thy will be done. You know how, you know, even as humans, we really want to live as long as we can live, don't we? Think about one like Jesus who had existed from eternity, fixing to give up his life and go into the tomb. Boy, how difficult that must have been. The anxiety was such, it says, that it squeezed blood through the pores of his skin. By the way, you know, Gethsemane means the olive press. And so Jesus went where they pressed the olives, and there the weight of the sins of the world began to be put upon him, squeezing out the life forces. So we're saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus had to die. There was no other way to save us. The wages of sin is death. And that penalty had to be paid in order for us to escape. Now, why did Jesus sacrifice his life for us? In our hymnal it says, redeemed through his infinite mercy. Aren't you glad that God's mercy is described as infinite? Infinite mercy. That's the only thing that gives you and me hope, isn't it? Is the infinite mercy of God. In Psalm 130, verse 7, we read, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Not just a little bit of redemption, but abundant redemption by his grace and mercy. And of course, we know that Paul writes in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb through his infinite mercy. Now, looking on here, what are the genuine implications of our redemption? What does it mean to be redeemed? How does that, in a special way, benefit us in this present life? The songwriter says, his child and forever I am. Aren't we glad to be the child of God? Goes on to say here, I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Is that what the Bible says? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. John 8:12, and over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that God dwells in a light that no man can approach into. And so the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the light of his presence is with us. And she goes on the right, in whose law I delight. Kind of a reference to Psalm 1, you know, that the righteous person meditates upon the law of God day and night and becomes like a tree planted by the rivers of water, in whose law I delight. And who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. So does God lovingly guard our footsteps? He does, doesn't he? Psalm 34:7, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love him, that fear him. He lovingly guardeth our footsteps and giveth songs of night. So there's a lot more to being redeemed, I mean the benefits and the blessings, than just the fact that we're going to be able to live in heaven eternally one day. There's other blessings that come with being redeemed. And she says, I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect at home with the Lord I will be. That sounds almost like Paul's closing testimony, doesn't it? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for me, and not for me only, but for all those who love of Jesus. There's a crown that's waiting for us, and soon with the saints made perfect. So she apparently believed in the soon coming of Jesus, didn't she? She said, soon with the saints made perfect, home with the Lord I will be. And so what a great, great hymn that we have here before us. And so, as we think about being redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, by His infinite mercy, and we think of all of these benefits that we get on top of heaven, what should these insights lead us to do? She says it should cause us to sing, to lift up our voices in adoration to God. She says, I sing, for I cannot keep silent. You know, to sing, that's really a proper response to redemption. In Isaiah 51:11, we read, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You know, I've been thinking about doing a sermon on the songs of heaven. When you get to Revelation, you hear a lot of songs being sung up there. In Revelation 5:9, it talks about the four living creatures and the 24 elders. It says they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to join them in that song one day, we better get started today. And you know, one of the things I love about our little Lancaster congregation is that Leslie has us sing a bunch of songs that I've never sung before. That's in our hymnal, right? We ought to be singing those songs. Sing new songs, it says. Not just the old ones, but the new ones, right? And sing because we are redeemed. This morning as we partake of the communion service, as we participate in it, let's have great joy in our hearts. We're redeemed. And we have a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May that thought, you know, take away all of our pain and sorrow and anguish and anxiety and just fill us with rejoicing today. We're here to celebrate our redemption through Jesus Christ. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me.